Now this morning once more, I would like to talk to you from some of those blessed portions that have been on my heart, and especially in reference to Israel and their position before God. And I've had to set the background for you so that as we come up to the present day of Israel's present problems, we as Christians will be able to understand more than any others in all the earth. For we certainly are in that peculiar position where we know more than the world knows about Israel. And while the United Nations and all the other organizations may be trying to set certain things, trying to set boundaries, trying to get Israel to give back the land which they won in the war, or which they procured by the Six-Day War, God has set its boundaries. And it doesn't matter much what the UN decides, what men decide. Israel is to have a certain portion. For the Word of God tells us that when God set the boundaries of all the nations, he set them according to the number of the children of Israel. In other words, Israel's boundaries were set first before any other nation's boundaries were set. Those boundaries were very clearly set. You don't have to turn to it, but the boundaries are these. Genesis 15:18, from the Nile to the Euphrates, on the north and the south. And in Joshua 1:4, from the Mediterranean to the forests of Lebanon. This is an area of just about 1 million square miles. Israel at the present time has about 20,000 square miles. So she has not yet obtained that which shall finally be hers in that great day when Jesus Christ comes to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords over all the earth. Israel will not win all this for herself. The great God, Jehovah God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and he who is their Redeemer, their Savior, their Messiah, it is he that shall give them this kingdom. And so all the United Nations arguments, all the disputings which we can see are fruitless, endless, been going on for years. It's not something new. It's an amazing thing, isn't it, that we're living in the age when Israel has become a nation. And yet, really, they're not a nation in God's eyes yet. Because God's going to take them, he said, from the four corners of the earth and bring them back into his land. And there are many who are yet rebellious, who don't desire to go back. But those who go are so thrilled to go back to Israel. The Jews from Japan and from China, from all the nations of the earth. An amazing thing. Such a conglomerate group. When you go there, you see all of the different nations and all of the Jews that have come from all of the corners of the earth. Amazing grace of God, slowly drawing them back. I couldn't help but think as I had to go into a clothing store, and I got talking with one of the salesmen, and he said, I'm going to Israel tonight. And I said, isn't that great? Why are you going? He said, my son is over there. And he said, he is so excited. He's going to the university over there. And he said, every young person, you would have to be there, he said, to see the excitement and the dedication of the Jewish young people to the causes which they are there for. They're willing to die because they believe that the cause that they are fighting for is just and that God has given them a land. And even though they're returning in unbelief, which they are, there's no faith in their hearts in the Messiah, yet God is working his plan out. The ultimate plan is being worked out. so that slowly that final terminus will come when we shall see all hell break loose upon the earth. We from the councils of heaven, because the church itself shall be raptured to be with its Lord before the time of Jacob's trouble, the great tribulation comes upon Israel, upon the earth. Such a day as was never seen before on the earth, God says, and never shall be. There's never been a war like the conflict that's coming. We wouldn't have to guess at that, would we? We have no conceptions, do we, of what the next conflicts will be like. There's a fear in all men's hearts for the things that they see coming upon the earth. And the Lord told us, men's hearts will fail them for fear for the things that they see coming upon the earth. And the days are growing shorter and shorter and shorter. And so I've been going over Israel's disobedience, if I might use that term. Their disobedience to God. And how in 1 Corinthians 10, I read it last week to you, God spoke to us and said, these things happened unto them for examples. Their disobedience and how God had to chasten them. And I want to tell you, God has to chasten the United States deeply. We are at present, and may I make this most clear, we are at present under the divine judgment of God. And God's wrath is being right now in some portions already poured out upon these United States. But we're blind and we cannot see it. We do not understand. We talk of drug culture. Who ever heard of drugs being a culture? We talk of the rapacious condition in the cities. We talk of the ghettos. We're the first nation in all the earth that has had a $1 trillion economy in its gross national product, and we're broke. You don't think God's judgment is falling? In the Old Testament, when he spoke to the minor prophets, he said, you put your gold into bags, but the bag has a hole in the bottom. And the gold just rolls out. You think you're garnering up for yourself great possessions, but you're not. You have an idea that your gold will preserve you, and this was one of Israel's great sins, that she thought gold would preserve her, her wealth. God had said you'll be the merchants of the earth, and you will not be a borrower from the nations, but the nations shall borrow from thee. Thou shalt lend to all the nations of the earth thy gold. That has been the history of Israel from the very beginning down to today. The great lenders, Rothschild's house, we could go down through it all. The great lenders of money, and wherever they have loaned the money, the nations have come to hate them. It's always the same. Wherever someone's a lender, finally they're hated because they have to be paid back. Hard to realize, isn't it? But here is Israel, disobedient to God down through the centuries. One disobedience on top of the other. And God says, now listen, I wrote all these things to you. He says, I've identified Israel with Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They were all baptized into Moses. I identified them with that man. Now I've identified you who've come to Christ with Jesus Christ. This is entirely a new covenant. It's open to the Jew and to the Gentile to come in and to be made one new man in Christ Jesus. I hardly think there's a born-again Christian anymore who really understands what God has done in his purpose. His great purpose was one. He says, I will take the Jew and the Gentile and I will make one new man in Christ Jesus. And yet I hear Christians talking in hatred of the Jews. And the Christian church has been the great
and terrible persecutors of the Jews, down through the centuries, looking upon them as the crucifiers of Jesus Christ, down through the Crusades and every part of their history, if I would trace it for you, you would see that while God said, my purpose was to bring you together and to make you one new man in Christ Jesus, you have failed. And so, beloved, they have been disobedient. And then I said last week to you
that we have been disobedient,
haven't we?
I don't want to go into all of their disobedience. It was a terrible disobedience.
Their disobedience, just this morning I was so thrilled as I went through the scriptures. I get up around 5 o'clock on Sunday morning. And just going through the scriptures this morning, I guess till about 10 o'clock, about 5 hours. But coming into so many new precious thoughts as I read in Exodus 32 about Moses and the golden calf. And then I realized the great similarity it had to the epistles of Peter. I'm going to speak to you about that, but not right at the moment. I'll let you a little hungry there. It's, tremendous things, tremendous things. But we, last week, speaking about the fact that we have failed in so many ways. We have made preachers out of men who never should have been preachers. When never born again, never received the Holy Ghost, have truly never known Christ as their personal Savior. We have sometimes looked at people and because they give some glib testimony about faith in Christ as though it's some simple step that gets them into the kingdom of heaven and have never repented of their sins and many times go on in their sins and yet before the church they look so sweet and so holy and they look like fine Christians. But God says, I'm not looking on the outward things. I don't look on the pews in the church, nor do I look upon the outward God. Nor do I look upon how holy they look or how pious they may seem to be within the church fellowship. No, rather, I look not upon the outward things, but I look upon the heart. And so there are preachers in pulpits today who should not be in pulpits. As I said last week, what a tragedy it is that if Martin Luther were to walk in the Lutheran church today, he'd be cast out, by and large, by the fellowships of the Lutheran church. Because he preached the unsearchable riches of Christ, and he preached the great doctrine of faith, which is the priesthood of all believers, that redemption is only in Jesus Christ and him alone, and no one else. Now in the great theological seminaries, the strongest one in the country, the Missouri Synod, now the great battle has divided them down the middle as to whether Christ, number one, is divine. Number two, whether the story of creation is a fable, whether Jonah was ever swallowed. They go down the line of all the miracles and would cast them out. And beloved Luther, because he proclaimed the unsearchable riches of Christ, would find it hard to find fellowship there. Then we've made converts out of people who should never have been called converts. And I don't want to go into that. I spoke to you last week about that. The only one here this morning that is a true convert to Jesus Christ is not the one who relishes the fact that they're a Baptist. Who rejoices in the fact that I am a Baptist. God deliver me from the man or the woman or the boy or the girl who I talk to about Jesus Christ. And the first thing I hear is, well, I'm a Baptist. Beloved, if anybody ever asks you what you are, you tell them what you are. I am a Christian because I've trusted Christ as my personal Savior. And they might say, well, what sectarian group do you belong to? Say, I happen to go to a Baptist church because the man in the pulpit's preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that's all. And if he didn't, I'd go to some church, and I wouldn't care what the name was, but I'd get in there, and I'd hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, because I want the whole Word of God.
And the tragedy is that so often when people move away from my church, I have continually tried to find them new churches. And incidentally, if the Frudenbergers would speak to me this morning, I have a good church where their family is going. I found it with it for them. But it isn't easy always to find a Baptist church where the Word of God is preached. And so, beloved, we can find a church not by the name on the door, but by the message of the man in the pulpit, where there are converts made to Jesus Christ, and we know it, and only you know this morning whether you're a convert, and you don't have one bit of doubt about it. Any one of you, I don't care whether you're young or old, you don't have a bit of doubt about it. Either Christ dwells in your heart by faith and you know it, or you're lost.
Because the Holy Spirit of God, it says, witnesses with our spirit. And who will say it with me? We know that we are what? The children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God. Heirs of Christ's kingdom. See, this is a message. But there's more than that, beloved. What shall we do? Oh, there's so many places we've failed. What shall we do?
Let me say this. There are several things the true child of God must do in this wicked day. And number one, since Israel failed and all of these things were examples to us so that we should not do the same thing, then there are things we have to do. There are things Christians must do. Are you born again this morning? Young fella, are you born again? Mother, dad, are you born again? Do you really know Christ as your Savior? Have you really received Him into your heart? Do you really know this? Have you been putting on a facade of Christianity? Christianity is not going to church. Church buildings are not Christian. Paul says the church is the body of Christ. This place only becomes a church building when those who are part of the body of Christ walk into the building. Then it becomes a church. But we call all kinds of places churches, don't we? The Church of Christ Scientist. If I were to give you all the names that are applied to the church, we would be amazed. But the church, beloved, is the body of Christ. The true church is an organism. It is not an organization. It is an organism. It is a body. And Paul says, "Know ye not that you are members of the body of Christ? And members one of another." Christ the head. And we the members. And as Christ is the head of the body, He guides and directs us just as our brain directs our bodies. And every impulse goes to the brain to be identified as to what movement shall be made in the body. And so Christ is the head to guide the body. Day by day. What shall we do? Well, let me just put it quickly, because I see time is flying and they'll be flashing that light at me and trying to get me confused, but I throw a paper over it. You know, can I say this? I don't want to die in the pulpit. But only from this sense. Nothing would please me more than to die behind the sacred desk. Myself, personally. If that old heart stopped
you know, and the Lord just said, that's it, Martin, come home. And I happened to be in that pulpit. I, myself, would rejoice because it'd be absent from the body, present with the Lord. But for your sakes, let me tell you, the deacons and I have discussed this quite thoroughly. For your sakes, I wouldn't want it to happen. But for me. So I got a little heart trouble. You know, people think I flip my lid, you know, and I say, oh, it feels so bad for you. Don't feel bad for me. Just pray for me, that's all. Pray that the Lord will continue to give me utterance that I may utter the word of God.
That's the only reason I'm alive, because you prayed. There was a time that I didn't think I'd be here today. But you really prayed. Do you believe God answers prayer? I can look at men right out here. I see Howard Bunton. I see others who've had Russ Reimer, others who've had bad heart attacks. They're here. Why? Because God answers prayer. Beloved, as long as he wants me to be here, I want to be here. But when that moment comes that he wants me home, there won't be any doubt about it. He'll take me.
Listen, God's child is immortal until his work is done. Would you remember that? Put it on your little pad. God's child is immortal until his work is done. And then God takes him. In these last days, beloved, the child of God must in his heart defy the apostasy of our times and not be afraid of it. Don't be mamby-pamby about the doctrine. That's what we read about this morning when Dave read the scriptures to us. The doctrine of God. We're to defend the doctrines of our faith. Those most holy doctrines delivered unto us. And beloved, here I say, watch ourselves very carefully. Never get yourself involved in arguments about all of the little things some Christians like to argue about. They want to argue with you about the second blessing and healings and tongues and this and that and 100 other things. Listen, foolishness. Listen to Paul. I would know nothing among you. Who will finish it with me? Save Jesus Christ and him what? That's it. That's it. Let's hold to the essential doctrine of our faith. What saves the soul? Christ on the cross. What cleanses from sin? The blood of Jesus Christ. What is that which assures us that God has received Jesus Christ's forgiveness, his blood as sufficient for us, his resurrection from the dead? How do we know he's coming again? Because what he hath promised, he will perform. And let us make sure. There's lots of Christians in the world want to spend their time in the last days disputing about incidentals. God has provided the way of men's salvation and is not willing, what? That any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. This is the message of the cross. We're to defend. We're to deny, we're to defy the apostasy of our days when false teachers shall come in unawares, having itching ears and teaching damnable heresies and casting people into the very mouth of hell because they have forgotten that the essential doctrine of our faith is listed in 1 Corinthians 15, how that Jesus died and rose again for our justification. Don't waste your time. The days are short. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And remember that the key doctrine of our faith is exactly what Paul said. I would know how much? Nothing. And nothing means nothing. I would know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Why does he say that? Because unless a soul has that, they have absolutely what? Nothing. Because salvation is only in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for our sins. And remember that. We're all sinners. Boy, I was going down through the gamut. I don't want to get too far here. You know, I've been at this rate. Like, I don't want to get too far. But you know, I've been going down the whole gamut of thinking of the sins of men. And you know, every one of you in this whole congregation, if I can say this, every single one of you, and I hate to tell you, but in your lineage, there are murderers and whoremongers and adulterers, and this and that. Every single sin that's been named, you're part of, because you are a descendant, remember, of Adam and then Noah through Ham, Shem, or Japheth. And that's it. And every man's lineage has all this kind of sin in it. And you're the end product, and I feel sorry for you. But you just need Jesus. That's all. Isn't it wonderful? I'm so glad I don't have to know anything else but Christ. How blessed. Are you redeemed this morning? Do you really know it, young fellow, young girl? Do you really know Christ? Mother, dad, grandma, grandfather. Oh, what difference does it make? Do you really know Him? And when I say that word, know, I mean it as deep and as intense as I can get it. You must know Christ as your personal Savior. He redeemed me. His blood cleansed me from sin. And when I received Him, I know He dwells in my heart by faith. The Holy Spirit is in there. And Paul says, what? Know you not that your body is the temple of the living God, the temple of the Holy Ghost? Don't you know this? Can't you know this? Well, if you don't know it this morning, how many know it? Put your hands up. You know it. Praise the Lord. Now, some of you couldn't raise your hands, maybe. So let's just pray for a minute. And maybe you'd like to raise it this morning if you couldn't do it just now. Let us pray. Father, we thank Thee for Thy precious word. Just bless it to our hearts, Lord. And we pray this morning that if there should be any who just couldn't raise their hands, oh, let us remember the words of Paul. I would know nothing among you save Christ and Him crucified. Christianity is not a system of morals. Christianity is life. And then our moral character stems from the Christ who dwells in us. Oh, God, touch hearts this morning. Any young fellow, young girl, mother or father, grandmother, grandfather, anyone in this wonderful congregation, oh, that wasn't able to raise their hands. Every eye is closed, every head is bowed, no one looking around. It's between you and God. Just say, Pastor, pray for me. Pray for me this morning. Just put it up quickly. Say, Pastor, pray for me. Here's my hand. Quickly. Just put it up now. Yes, I saw that hand. Lord bless you. Just high, just so I see it, and then you can take it down. Anywhere else? Yes, I see your hand. God bless you. Anybody else, just put that hand up high, and then I'll see it and tell you to take it down. Anywhere else, quickly, Pastor, pray for me. I couldn't raise that hand before, but here's my hand. I want to confess Jesus Christ before men, because I know He'll confess me before His Father in heaven. Just a moment. Anyone else, put it up high, just so I can see it. Quickly, just as we close.
Yes, I see your hand back there. Lord bless you, young lady. Praise God. Anybody else? Put it high. Don't be ashamed of Christ. We are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew and to the Gentile. Anywhere else? Just put it up high. Anywhere, quickly, just as I close. Yes, I see your hand, young lady. Praise God. Anywhere else? I don't want to stop. I see these young women coming to Christ. Anywhere, quickly, just put it up high. Yes, I see your hand. God bless you, young lady. Anyone else? Quickly. Oh, beloved, has God spoken to you? Has the Holy Spirit spoken? Such a tender moment just to say, yes, Lord, here's my hand. There's many now who have raised their hands. Just a moment now as I close. Anyone else? I don't want to close. If you've never done it, put it up now. You've never done it before. Yes, I saw your hand on the balcony. Lord bless you, son. Fine young man up there. Praise the Lord. Anyone else? Quickly. Hold it up till I see it. That's all I ask. Now, gracious Father, we thank thee for these many who've come to Christ this morning as their personal Savior. Lord, as thy servant, thy under-shepherd, I pray that the words that have been spoken have not been passed again, but the Holy Spirit's. For Lord, as the Spirit speaks to hearts, we then have true conversions. And so, Father, we pray that the Spirit now may seal each one who's raised their hands, that they really know that Christ is their personal Savior. Their sins are forgiven them, and He's given them eternal life and the gift of the Holy Spirit. Oh, Lord, they may not feel a great surge emotionally, but they can have that great stability in their hearts that they're redeemed for time and for eternity. Fill their hearts with love for Christ, we pray in His blessed name. Amen.